The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 31 through chapter 8, verses 26. We've been going through the Gospel of Mark for a while, and in this morning's passage, we will notice a very similar interaction with a big crowd of hungry people that we saw a couple weeks ago. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on them, on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh, said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Now during those days, another large crowd gathered, and since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat, and if I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "Well, how many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. And having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them and got back into the boat and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for 1 loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5,000, or when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets of pieces that you picked up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I'm Judy Kraft. I'm an elder here at Calvin, if you haven't met me before. And I'm speaking today because our pastor, Zach, has been on vacation. So we didn't think he should have to prepare a sermon while he was on vacation. On a recent trip to Uganda, our theme was transformation. As we put our faith in Jesus and we trust our lives to him, he transforms us. Our theme was 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. While we were there, we spoke with women who lived in grinding poverty, who had to send their children to school with no food every morning. Single mothers with few skills who were left to manage their children alone. Girls who were abducted from their homes and were used to satisfy the whims of their abductors. Teachers who are experiencing all kinds of deprivation because they could not make a living wage. All of these people, when we asked them, "Does Jesus change you? Does he transform you?" they answered with a glad, "Yes, he does." But you don't have to go to Uganda to experience this transformation. If you look at our passage for today, Mark 7:31 to 8:26, Jesus is traveling near the Sea of Galilee. He's drawing crowds and teaching everywhere he goes. And everywhere he transforms people. But this transformation may take several different forms, as we shall see. In 7:31 to 37, we have an account of one individual who was deaf and could hardly talk. We don't know how long he was like this, but at the very least, he'd been cut off from normal communication with other people and maybe often ignored in conversations. Picture this. Jesus is teaching the crowd. People walk up with this man in tow. He stops what he's doing and focuses on the man. He shows compassion. He doesn't make a spectacle of this man. He takes him aside so that they can have a private moment. He touches him. He puts his fingers in his ears. He touches his tongue. And then he prays. Have you ever had the experience of someone reaching out to touch you when you were hurting? How did that feel to you? When I was practicing as a nurse, I used to often reach out and put my hand on a patient's arm when I was talking to them as a way of expressing caring and also making a connection with them. Jesus didn't have to touch this man. He could have just spoken a word and not done anything. The man's ears were opened and his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. How is this man transformed by this contact with Jesus? Picture him in your mind. Instantly, he's able to express his thoughts. His ears are open. He could be a part of conversations now, a part of his community. His eyes and ears now are open to hear Jesus' message. He sees qualities of compassion and kindness in Jesus. He has a new awareness of the world around him. Maybe he's excited and he's telling other people the story. Maybe he's curious to know more about Jesus. Maybe he's feeling gratitude. What about the people who watched? Were they transformed by Jesus? Well, in verse 37, it says they were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well. They were probably pretty exciting, excited and maybe starting to believe in Jesus. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Some maybe were questioning, not quite ready to believe. And what about the disciples? Were they transformed? Were their ears opened? Were they hearing the deeper message that Jesus was communicating? Maybe not entirely, but we will see a gradual dawning of understanding as we progress through the book of Mark. Jesus was planning to transform all of them. Moving on now, Jesus draws a large crowd in chapter 8, 1 to 8. Here people have been with him for 3 days. Imagine yourself in this situation, following Jesus and hanging on every word that he says. But now you become aware that your stomach is growling, and maybe you feel a little faint. You ask yourself what to do. What should I do? You need to get some food, but you don't want to miss a thing. Reluctantly, you decide to stay and hear what Jesus has to say. But Jesus knows that you are hungry, and he has compassion on you. He takes up what is available, a small amount of fish and several loaves of bread, and gives thanks, trusting that the Father will provide. He has the disciples distribute the food. And in verse 8, the people ate and were satisfied. There was enough for everyone. So how were these people who were fed transformed? Surely they were changed by Jesus' words. They'd been with him for 3 days. But it was amazing. He fed them all. They were saying it was a miracle. Beginning of faith, maybe, and desiring to know more. Their hunger satisfied, they're revived physically and spiritually, seeing that the compassion and caring of Christ has met their needs. How were the disciples transformed by this incident? Do the disciples remember that Jesus fed 5,000 people recently? Why does Jesus repeat this miracle here? Jesus is continuing to emphasize his divine ability to meet all needs. Maybe they are beginning to see the amazing qualities and power of Jesus, but they still have not fully understood his message. Next, the Pharisees approach Jesus in verse 10. Their goal is to entrap him and discredit him by asking for a spectacular sign, as if he needed to show any sign since he just fed 4,000 people with a little bit of bread and fish, and he healed so many people. Jesus sees that they are testing him, and they are tempting him to make a display of his power. He says, "No sign will be given." Then he abruptly left them. He was finished with their questioning and refused to step into the trap. Were the Pharisees transformed? We don't see that, do we? They did not see or hear. Their power over the people was threatened by him, and they came with their minds made up, with their ears and eyes tight shut. Jesus will not force anyone to open their eyes and ears. So it seems that there's a need to be open to God before one can be transformed. In 8:15, Jesus warns the disciples to beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Yeast is often used in the Bible to represent contamination. In the spiritual sense, Jesus was referring to the corruption of human nature and human systems, like that of the Pharisees and Herod. You heard about that from Ken last week. Apparently here, Jesus and the disciples are on a different train of thought. Jesus was reflecting back on his conversation with the Pharisees. The disciples, missing the point, thought that he was talking about not having enough bread. Jesus patiently helps them to understand. Remember the feeding of the 4,000? Why are you concerned about bread? There are so many greater issues at stake here. They still did not have eyes to see or ears to hear. The greater question of who Christ is, his purpose in the world, and the opposition to his message. Now Jesus demonstrates his power by reaching out to a blind man in verse 22 to 26. Again, Jesus takes him away from the crowd so that he doesn't expose him. They can have a quiet moment together. He demonstrates intimacy again by contact. He spit on his eyes. He touches him. There's an intense concentration by Jesus on this man. What is Jesus demonstrating by healing this man at this particular time? Surely his tenderness and care for this man. But always he is teaching the disciples. This is the only account where it takes two touches for healing to occur. Partial sight was restored, but then it took another touch for complete healing. Why was this? It demonstrates that not all of God's miracles are instantaneous, but some require a gradual growth of understanding and maturity. Was this man transformed by his contact with Jesus? Well, his life was changed radically by getting his vision again. Of course, it took two touches by Jesus. We know that Jesus could have healed him with a word, but this happened to illustrate a particular kind of blindness. The disciples had this kind of blindness that does not yield immediately, but was gradually being healed as they lived with and learned from Jesus. Jesus' healing of the blind man helped them to see their blindness. So we see in this passage that everywhere Jesus goes, there is transformation. The old has gone, the new has come. But this transformation takes many forms. Like the blind man who didn't see clearly at first, some of us take time, learning gradually. Who do you identify with in this account? The Pharisees with their eyes tight shut, having made up their minds about Jesus before even hearing him? The people who were healed. Maybe you've experienced dramatic healing in your life with Christ. What about the crowd? Gradually growing in faith as you see Jesus working in your life, but often easily turned away. What about the disciples? Maybe you identify with them. They were open and eager, but not always seeing clearly or hearing clearly, having ups and downs in their walk with Christ, needing time to fully understand what God is teaching. I know that's the way it's been with me. I've had a lot of attitudes and ideas that needed to be changed and transformed by Jesus. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My mom knew nothing of the gospel. I was invited to church at 12, and that's the first I heard about Jesus. And it wasn't until age 19 that I really fully understood and gave my life to him. Even then, it took time to see Jesus' way of unselfish and giving love. For years, I've taken one step forward and two steps back and seen old sinful attitudes resurface again and again. But now, I look back over many years, more than I care to admit, and I see how Jesus is transforming me. He's giving me more patience and more love. And I find myself listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit more often. I still struggle sometimes with sinful ways of thinking or acting. It's not my effort that makes the difference. It's the transforming power of Christ working in me. Every time I stumble, he calls me to acknowledge my weakness and return to confession and prayer to find the path again. I have a favorite passage I'd like to share with you from Psalm 16. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Over time, we're all transformed as we follow him. Think for a moment how Christ has transformed you. I'll give you a moment to think about that. For most of us, it is a gradual process. It's not like a flash of lightning and we're perfect from there on. Jesus will continue to lovingly guide you just as he did the disciples, not impatient or disappointed, but always looking at you with eyes of love and teaching you how to become a good and faithful servant. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you desire to transform us. You are not impatient when we fall or fail to understand. You love us deeply, and your compassion is boundless. There is never a time when you are not with us, guiding, correcting, loving. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.